As Jesus started on his way, a man ran up to him and fell on his knees. Fell on his knees before him. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Why do you call me good? Jesus answered. No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not give false testimony. Do not defraud. Honor your father and mother. Teacher, he declared, all these things I have kept since I was a boy. Jesus looked at him and loved him. One thing you lack, he said. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? The disciples were amazed at his words, but Jesus said again, children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. The disciples were even more amazed and said to each other, who then can be saved? Jesus looked at them and said, with man this is impossible, but not with God. All things are possible with God. Amen. So bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning asking for your presence to be with Naveen as he brings us your message. Thank you for his preparation. Thank you for working in his mind and through him today as he brings us the message. These are hard lessons. Sometimes we are like the apostles, where we are amazed and say, how can this be? But as a loving parent, you ask us more than just easy things. You ask us hard things. So be with us as we listen to your word this morning. Be with us each as we come to this place with different obstacles in front of us. Open the way for us to hear your voice this morning. We pray this in your name. Amen.
How do we perceive this passage? What is this passage about? Now, there are a couple of verses that hit pretty hard. Verse 21, where Jesus responds to him, the rich young man, one thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. And followed by that, verse 25, where he is talking to his disciples, he says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. How do we understand some of these sayings, some of these teachings that Jesus, we have in the scripture that Jesus taught us? I think we will miss the point if we just limit this to being applicable to the wealthy individual who chose to rely on his wealth rather than depend upon God. While that was true, I believe that Jesus was driving them towards a larger point. Therefore, I would like to go over this passage a few times. First focusing on the rich young man, and then focusing from the perspectives of the disciples, and then maybe see the bigger picture of what may be going on here. So from the encounter that this rich young ruler had, this encounter, which we traditionally know it as the rich young ruler. Now, this is found in the three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Only Matthew says that the man was young. Only Luke says he was a ruler. And all three say he was rich. So, you know, there you go. We have this rich young ruler. The rich man's concern is to inherit eternal life. This young man probably had heard different teachings, but now he sees Jesus, and he's heard multiple teachings, but none gave him the assurance, that certainty by which he could have claim over eternal life. And therefore he decides to talk to Jesus. He ran up to Jesus and fell on his knees before him, the scripture says. Good teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? The verb inherit here would come naturally to the lips of a man of wealth. He appears to be a nice person, seems to be humble. And when Jesus said, you know the commandments, you shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not give false testimony, you shall not defraud, honor your father and mother. He responded, teacher, he declared, all these I have kept since I was a boy. So here is a man who seems to be sincere and is obedient to the law, but is unsure if he will inherit eternal life. And then comes Jesus' second and more profound reply, which is surprising to the rich man. One thing you lack, he said, go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come follow me. At this, the man's face fell. He went away sad because he had great wealth. Verse 22. Now, I'm reasonably sure, I was thinking about this, I'm reasonably sure that the people of that time must have had some sort of an ideal person image. Who makes it to heaven? And I think, and this is just my thought, I think that the rich young ruler fits that image very well. You know, sickness and disabilities were seen as an implication of their sin. And on the contrary, wealth was a sign of blessing from God, traditionally in that culture. So he kept the commandments and was also blessed by God with wealth. Makes me think that he was probably seen as someone who is up very high on the list. I say this also because of the reactions of the disciples. They were shocked. They were shocked when they heard Jesus' response. And they said to each other, who then can be saved? If he doesn't make it, who can? You know, that's sort of, you can read that response. And also notice that here Jesus is simply listing the basic commandments, which every Jew knew very well. But notice the ones he misses out. He lists the fifth commandments through the nine, not in the same order, but 5 through 9 he lists in different order. Particularly the first four he misses, and the 10th commandment he misses. The first four, which talks about putting God first, no idols, not taking God's name in vain, and observing the Sabbath. And the 10th commandment is about covetousness. And God does not test us to know what is in our hearts. He already knows it. But God will often test us to show us what's in our hearts, to reveal to ourselves what is in our hearts. He will try to reveal to us what is keeping us away from Him and His perfect will for our lives. So that is from the rich man's, focusing on the rich man's perspective. Before we shift our focus to the disciples, I think the big problem here was that the rich young ruler wanted to inherit the kingdom of God by following the law. And Jesus showed him that God demands absolute perfection. So the disciples' reaction to this teaching on riches and the kingdom of God was first in amazement. They were completely amazed. And then they were totally astonished when they heard Jesus say that it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Like we heard, they said to each other, who then can be saved? The one who they thought in their perception was up high on the list was just disappointed. Who then can be saved? It just totally messed up their understanding of who will make it. Though they were not wealthy, they belonged to a culture whose evaluation of wealth was fundamentally challenged by this teaching of Jesus, and they were profoundly shaken. Later, we didn't read this part. Later in verse 28, 29, and 30, we read that Peter jumps in, speaking of on behalf of all the disciples. He is trying to seek some kind of a reassurance. He says, "We have left everything to follow you. What then will there be for us?" Jesus is trying to lead them towards the subject of grace. But we can see how difficult it gets to overcome the mindset with which we approach him. The rich young man asks him about how he can earn eternal life. And now his own disciple, Peter, is asking him about what he deserves. Now, interesting again, Jesus does not rebuke their insecurity or pride, but addresses it by means of an extravagant blessing. Now, this, you can read that later on in 28, 29, and 30. But it also finishes that in verse 30 by saying, "But many who are first will be last, and many who are last will be first." Sort of connecting them to the idea of grace. So now that we have focused individually on the rich man and the disciples, let's look at what may be going on here in the bigger picture of what Jesus may be leading them to. Now Jesus is trying to explain them the impossibility of trying to inherit, and so he challenges the man's unusual form of address. He says, "Good teacher," if you remember. He addresses him as good teacher. And Jesus responds in verse 18, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone." Now Jesus is powerfully, he powerfully probes the worldview that assigns goodness without any foundation. You can see he's coming to Jesus with his own definition of good. Jesus stops him right there and corrects him first. I think we all fall in that trap. Good often becomes a relative term for us, but not for God. He is the very definition of it, and that that demands absolute perfection. And as Mark pointed out, before this comes the passage about little children. You know, you can read that before we started at 17, but you can read from 13 to 16. Jesus had blessed the little children and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly, I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." Jesus is teaching them about the kingdom of God. On one hand is the impossibility of trying to inherit. And on the other hand, he says, you have to receive it like a little child. So our passage about the rich young ruler is, it was interesting. I read the whole thing. It's sort of sandwiched in between two passages. The passage where Jesus says, unless you come like little children, you will not enter the kingdom of God. And then, after this rich young ruler's passage, he goes on to talking to his disciples about his upcoming, the kind of death he's going to die. So this is right in between that. Also, notice in verse 24, Jesus addresses his disciples as children. I think that was another sign that they hopefully would be able to connect to the teaching about children and the kingdom of God. The relationship between these two passages about the little children and the rich young man is quite a contrasting one. The principle has been established that one must receive the kingdom of God like a little child. Entrance to the kingdom of God demands our best obedience and all we have. Yet all we can do is not enough to achieve the life we seek. Such life and wholeness is only possible for God, and we can only receive it as a gift. Right after this passage, Jesus takes aside his disciples, saying, "We are going to Jerusalem," and explains them about the kind of death he was going to die. So you can see the flow here. All along, he's talking about the kingdom of God. First, you have to receive it as a little child. Second, you cannot earn it. And third, all things are possible with God. And so by his death, he was going to pave the way. We know that eventually this would all come together for the disciples, but that at that very moment, they could not connect. They didn't get it. So to bring this back home into our theme of compassion, we see that the rich young ruler walks away, and Jesus expresses no outrage here and makes no denunciations. Rather, he feels love for the man who loves his possessions. But there is something subtle and yet profound here in this encounter that we must notice. Verse 21, Jesus looked at him and loved. Jesus looked at him and loved him. It was after feeling this love that Jesus addressed the man's personal barriers. "One thing you lack," he said, "go sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." Jesus shows us that it is not harsh to expose another's barriers. It is an act of love. It is perhaps one of the most loving things we can do for another. I may have been blinded myself to something, and it may be my only way that someone in love points it out to me. Mercy and compassion are rooted in the very character of God, and the fullest expression of the mercy of God is found in the person and the work of Jesus Christ, the compassion of God incarnate. And I think this is the biggest example of God's compassion, where he sees the impossibility of us entering to his kingdom based on our merits. And so he died on the cross for our sake, so that we can have the possibility of entering into his kingdom as a little child through faith in him, and to enjoy this eternal presence and relationship with him. An uncalculating dependence of a child and faith in the work of Jesus, that's what we need. So in closing, I have a couple of questions. If you can turn to that slide, it's on the slide. Just for us to ponder, think about it. Putting God first, what does this mean to you? Extending compassion to someone who isn't where I am at spiritually is a good place to start. Think about what this means to you. Because here I see there is a great compassion and patience that we see from Jesus, that he is trying to explain them this concept and this way, this wisdom he's trying to share, and his own disciples are sort of locked into what we deserve and what is in for us. So think about that, and then Mark will come and lead us into the time.